Thank you, Mr. Schendel-Felep. Zahvaljujem se gospodu parlamentarnemu ombudsmanu za prihodnje generacije Mađarske. Prav gotovo nam je predstavil zanimive poglede in izkušnje iz sosednje države. Hvala lepa še enkrat. Sedaj pa je pripravljena že gospa magistrica Ute Pelinger, okoljska zagovornica Zvezdne dežele Štajerske iz Avstrije. Naslov njenega prispevka pa je Deželski okoljski zagovornik in njegov prispevek k sodelovanju javnosti v okoljskih zadevah. Prosim.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ute Pöllinger. I'm the Umweltanwältin of the Federal State of Styria, something like the Ombudswoman for the Environment. First of all, I have to say thank you for the invitation and for the chance to talk in front of such a competent audience. I really feel very, very honored. What will you hear from me today? First of all, I will tell you what the Umweltanwalt is and how it is implemented in Styria and how I can get access to information, to decision-making procedures and to legal remedies. And I also would like to answer the question if the institution Umweltanwalt does fulfill the demands of the Aarhus Convention to public participation. Well, let's start. In the 80s of the 20th century, the federal state of Styria was confronted with some serious environmental problems. The River Mur was strongly soiled by raw sewages of great industrial plants. The woods were endangered by acid rain, and the lead concentration in the ground was so enormous that the consumption of fruits and vegetables harvested next to motorways was not recommended. Because of these problems, civil society was very much interested in the protection of the environment, and NGOs were formed, which we have vehemently called in environmental protection regulations for the industry, and they forced the industry and especially the politicians to react. In 1988, the state government of the Federal State of Styria passed a law about institutions for the protection of the environment. With this law, the organization Umweltanwalt was founded. In regard to the legal basis, the Umweltanwalt has standing in administrative proceedings which have their focus in the avoidance of a constant and considerable impairment of man and the environment. In such decision-making processes, I have access to legal remedies, and besides this, the Umweltanwalt has to care about claimed injuries of essential environmental matters. And I also have the chance to take part in legislation processes. I don't know if you are informed about the division of responsibilities in Austria between the Republic of Austria and the federal states. In Austria, we have it in that way that the Republic of Austria is responsible for the environmental media, as air, water, soil, and so on, and the federal states are especially responsible for the conservation of nature, for zoning law, for spatial law, etc. And during the first years, the Umweltanwalt only was allowed to talk when the federal state of Styria was responsible for the matter he was talking about. After Austria's entry into the European Union, they had to adapt Austrian law, and therefore the Umweltanwalt also get standing in administrative proceedings which fall in the responsibility of the Republic of Austria, especially the environmental assessment and waste management. In 2005, I was appointed Umweltanwältin, and in this position, I am part of the Amt der Steiermärkische Landesregierung, which is the administrative office of the government of the Federal State of Styria. My team has 7 members, and among this, we are 3 jurists and 1 biologist. into regard to the legal basis, I am allowed to use all employees of the administrative office of the government to fulfill my duties. If I ask for information concerning to the responsibilities of the federal state of Styria, they have to answer me. Also, the employees of the local authorities have to answer my questions and have to give me information. By this way, I do have access to information in administrative proceedings affecting the environment. But when I have to solve problems affecting matters where the Austrian Republic is responsible for, I cannot only go to the offices and ask for information because they can deny it. In these cases, I have to act along the Umweltinformationsgesetz. I will present to you a bit later. So now you know something about the theory of getting information, of taking part in administrative proceedings for the Umweltanwalt, and now I will talk a little about the practice, giving you some examples. First, imagine you build a house, you live there, it's nice, everything's okay, but in winter, out of the chimney of the neighboring house, black fog is penetrating, it makes you coughing, it stinks. Okay, first of all, I think you will go to the neighbor and ask him to stop. Most of all, the neighbor says, no, I'm not responsible for this, and he denies to solve the problem. You have no other chance as to solve the problem otherwise, and you come to me and you ask for help. What can I do for you? First of all, I call the mayor of the city where you live and ask him if he knows anything about the case. In Styria, the mayor is concerning to the zoning law responsible also for the heating, for the functioning of the heating systems. So he has to tell me if he knows anything about the problem, and especially what he's doing to solve it. If he doesn't know anything, I tell him the situation, and I also ask him to react. Anyhow, I have to inform the complainant about the result. If I have to solve a problem not affecting responsibilities of the federal state of Styria, the way is not so easy, because I have to use the possibilities of the Umweltinformationsgesetz, so this is more formal. I told you that I have standing in some administrative proceedings, so if you imagine that you live in a real nice and green and tidy municipality, and somebody wants to build a pixie there. I don't know how the situation is in Slovenia, but in Styria, the pixies always get bigger and bigger and more pigs in them. So when the neighborhood hears that somebody wants to build a pixie, they get nervous, they get excited because it stinks. The contribution to the air pollution is really great. And they don't know how to react, and they also ask for help, and it's my duty to help them. How do I do this? Well, I have standing in the administrative proceedings, and the mayor has to invite me to the public trial. I have the possibility to take part in the decision-finding process, and also if the mayor forgets to invite me, I'm allowed to make my statement after the hearing, even if the mayor has made his decision. When somebody wants to realize a real big project, it's a highway, the law about environmental assessment says that I have standing, and in such proceedings I'm allowed to talk about all relevant goods of protection, water, air, soil, human health, etc. Using these possibilities, I can take part in decision-making procedures affecting the environment. But affecting the environment are not only administrative proceedings, they are also legislation proceedings, and if they want to pass a new law in environmental issues, I have also the right to give a statement. But if they do not follow my opinion, well, I don't have any chance to force them. So, because this conference is entitled Public Participation in Environmental Matters, Theory and Practice, the focus should also be on public and citizens' participation in environmental decision-making procedures and the right of healthy environment. So I will try to talk a little bit about the legal basis in Austria. Austria, as the Republic of Austria, was forced to take considerations in the public participation in environmental matters by the Aarhus Convention. As you all know, there are three important pillars: the access to information about the environment, the opportunities for participation in decision-making processes, and the access to legal remedies. As I told you, all these rights I do have. And so some people say, that's okay, we have the Umweltanwalt, public doesn't have to participate because the public can go, citizens can go to the Umweltanwalt and he, she will do it. Well, I do not think that this fulfills the demands which the Aarhus Convention makes to the possibilities of public participation, because also I look after public interests. I do not have any representative function opposite the particular interests of the individual members of the civil society. And as I told you, I'm part of the state administration, therefore I'm not standing over certain proximity. So the establishment of the organization Umweltanwalt alone doesn't fulfill the demands the Aarhus Convention makes to the possibilities of access to information about the environment, about the opportunities for participation in decision-making processes, and the access to legal remedies. In Austria, in 1993, a law was passed access to information about the environment, and it ensures the comprehensive access to all information about the conditions of the environmental components, about factors which have an effect on these components, about human health, etc., all data is accessible. Must be given to the one who's asking for. It's a bit formal because you have to write and you don't have to go to the office and ask for the information. And if they say you do not get the information, if they deny it, they have to justify the refusal, and against the negative reply, you also have legal remedies. So if I need information about water or air pollution, I also use the possibilities given by this law, because if I do not get the information I need, I can lodge an appeal. In regard to the demands the Aarhus Convention makes to the opportunities for participation in decision-making processes in environmental matters, Austrian law was improved after the entry to European Union, because before the entry into European Union, the Republic was very strict with the public participation, only if you really lived very, very near to a new industrial zone, you had the right to take part in the decision-making procedures, and now they had to widen it. But there are still requirements to improve the access of the public to courts in environmental rights, because in Austria the right to lodge an appeal is very strict, only for NGOs, for people really living next to it. So you can talk in the proceeding, but you can't fight for your right at the court. Thank you for your attention.
Zahvaljujem se gospe Ute Pelinger, okoljski zagovornici Zvezne dežele Štajerske iz Avstrije. Vsekako smo videli ene zelo zanimive poglede, izkušnje in pa možnosti iz tujine, pa upam, da nam bodo te izkušnje morda kaj doprinesle oziroma kaj pomagale pri izboljšavi naše prakse delovanja. Tako, sedaj pa imamo še nekaj časa, tako 10 minut za razpravo. Jaz predlagam, da kdo želi diskutirati. Aha, tam se že javlja glavna inšpektorca za okolje in prostor. Gospa Aleksandra Velkavrh, ne vem, če se mi sicer čisto pravilno naslovila.
Pozdravljeni, Velkavrh sicer, ampak ja. Jaz bi pa rada izkoristila to priložnost, bi se zahvala gospe varuhinji. Najprej sem si že zjutraj zahvala, da je pravzaprav to 15-letnico obeležila na tako pomembno področje, kot je okolje, katerega predstavnik nadzora sem danes tudi jaz. Bi pa rada izkoristila to priložnost za zelo kratko predstavitev nadzora okolja v naši državi. Inšpektorat Republike Slovenije za okolje in prostor zaposluje 200 ljudi. Nadzorujemo gradnjo, objekte, tudi stanovanje in velik in pravzaprav zelo pomemben del je pa tudi okolje, narava, tako da pravzaprav naših na tem področju okoljskih inšpektorjev nadzoruje, 55 inšpektorjev nadzoruje zelo obširno področje kar 382 predpisov. Tako da vemo, o kako zahtevnem in obširnem področju govorimo. In okoljski inšpektori nadzorujejo vode, zrak, emisije, v tla, odpadke, hrup, svetlobno onesnaženje, gensko spremenjene organizme, pravzaprav izredno, izredno široko področje. Večkrat smo deležni kritike, ne rečem, da včasih ne upravičeno, ampak sicer bi pa rada povedala, da to področje, posebej tisto, kar je nam zelo očitno, pa nadzorujejo tudi lokalne skupnosti in v to področje pravzaprav tudi pred mano sogovorniki so opozarjali, da nadzor lokalnih skupnosti občin, posebej nad odpadki iz gospodinstva oziroma ta manjša onesnaženja, da bo potreben prenos, kolikor že ni, tudi na občine. Potem imamo tudi krajinske parke, Triglavski narodni park, to so vsi zavodi, ki tudi izvajajo nadzor. Eden iz zelo pomembnih je pa pravzaprav tudi kazenski zakonik, kjer se okoljski kriminal že smatra za kriminal in to pa raziskujejo in kaznujejo oziroma začenjajo postopek tudi kriminalisti na našem področju. To se pravi, bi samo rada zaključila, da pravzaprav je področje nadzora zelo potrebno, zahtevno in da zahteva pravzaprav nadzor celotne družbe. Od najvišjih organov, ministrstvo za okolje in prostor smo organ v sestavi našega ministrstva oziroma sestavni del vlade in moramo reči, da vlada tukaj nam daje neko podporo. Trenutno pričenjamo z zaposlovanjem kar nekaj dodatnih zaposlitev na področju varovanja Triglavskega narodnega parka, pa tudi gensko spremenjenih organizmov. Potem moramo pa res razširiti ta nadzor tudi do najnižjih nivojev. To je pravzaprav garancija, da bo naše okolje in narava, da bosta resnično tudi ohranjena za prihodnje rodove. Toliko samo na kratko. Hvala lepa.
Hvala lepa gospe Velkavrh, predstojnici Inšpektorata Republike Slovenije za okolje in prostor. Vsekakor se čisto strinjam s to njeno ugotovitvijo, da so pristojnosti, vsebine in obseg dela inšpektorata zelo, zelo obsežna. In pa še z eno ugotovitvijo, ki pa jo seveda povem čisto s posebnim namenom, ker imamo danes tukaj ministra. Mi ugotavljamo, da so inšpekcije tako inšpekcija, ki jo predstavlja gospa Velkovrh, kot tudi ostale podhranjene in da tudi zaradi tega je delo velikokrat premalo učinkovito in zdaj vemo pa vsi, a ne, da inšpekcije so pravzaprav nadaljevanje enega rednega upravnega postopka in če je inšpekcija neučinkovita, potem je pogosto tudi tisto delo pred tem neučinkovito. Še enkrat hvala lepa, pa vidim, da je tam že nekdo drug. Zdaj še nekaj, jaz bi prosila, da se vsak govorec predstavi in da pove skotje, tako da bomo tudi ostali to vedeli.
Hvala za besedo. Jaz sem Vido Kregar, predstavnik Jamarske zveze Slovenije, se pravi organiziranega slovenskega podzemlja. Na predsednikov izvajanje bi to pripomnil. On je dejal zaenkrat, ne, silnih katastrof v Sloveniji nismo imeli in mislim, da je to popolnoma res. Zanemarjamo pa eno stvar. Mi imamo veliko ozemlja na Krasu, na Krasu se pa pravzaprav vsi te problemi malo drugače reku manifestirajo. Kras je pač ravnotežje med vodo, skalo in zrakom. In mi, jamari, mora biti te stvari majhne hitri vidimo, pa podzemno tudi majhne globi. Upozoril bi na to. V Sloveniji je pravzaprav silno mnogo smeti odpadkov v kraških jamah in ti odpadki vsi vplivajo na podzemne vode. Predvsem bi tle poudaril nerešeno vprašanje teh vojnih, se pravi municije, granat in tega v Krasu. To so ostanki iz prve svetovne vojne, iz druge svetovne vojne, za naprej ne vemo, kaj posebenega. Temu posvečamo pravzaprav premajhno pozornost, zato ker ta zadnja organizirana akcija čiščenja municije iz podzemlja je bila tam nek v 80-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja. Ker pa vemo, da je pravzaprav v Sloveniji bliz 2000 jam, ki so tako ali drugače onesnažene, bi pravzaprav apeliral na tukaj prisotne, da bi s časoma pristopili k temu problemu in se nekako lotili. Tudi bi se s tem navezal na gospoda ministra Žarniča, ki je govoril o tako imenovanih rjavih conah in mislim, da je tle en tak prostor. Hvala lepa.
Hvala lepa predstavniku slovenskega podzemlja. Bi še želel diskutirati, razpravljati. No, sicer pa mogoče še nekaj napotil pred odmorom. Zdaj odmor je od 11. do 11.10. zunije kava in sokovi. Jaz vas seveda ne vabim samo na kavo in sokove, temveč tudi, da si ogledate to razstavo risbic otrok Zavoda za gluhe in naglušne. Potem mogoče bi povabila tudi tiste, ki se še niste registrirali, da to storite in da prevzamete tudi gradivo za konferenco. Potem pa seveda vas opozarjam še na delavnice, ki bodo v popoldanskem oziroma proti večeru v tistem času, ki so tudi zanimive. Mi smo se potrudili, da smo našli kompetentne sogovornike, tako kot tudi ostale. Tri so na voljo in sicer prva delavnica prosti dostop do okoljskih informacij, vodijo bo gospod Karel Lipič, predsednik Zveze ekoloških gibanj Slovenije. Potem je druga delavnica sodelovanje javnosti v postopkih izdaje okoljevarstvenih soglasij in dovolenj. Magistra Adriana Vilar-Kovačič jo bo vodila. In tretja delavnica sodelovanje javnosti v okoljskih zadevah v lokalnih skupnosti. Leto pa bo vodil magister Ivan Plevnik iz Regionalne razvojne agencije za Koroško. Tako da tisti, ki se še niste prijavili ali pa ki mogoče želite zamenjati to delavnico, lahko to storite. Potrebujemo pa število za to, da se bodo pač ustrezno tudi dvorane pripravile. Tako zdaj pa, če bi še želel kdo diskutirati, aha, tam je še en gospod.